boys and girls, it is playoff time.
Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the ball back.
16 drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between one and two. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on. Tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, boys and girls? The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast is on the airwaves, EG3. With you guys, that's Eddie Greer III, a.k.a. here for another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. This is officially now the road to Kansas after what we all just saw yesterday. I'm still ticked. We're going to get into all that here in this episode of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast playoff reaction on this Monday night, the first night in October 2018, and the round of 16 has come to a close. We are now officially down to 12 drivers running for a championship after four getting eliminated here last night at the Roval. So much more to get into on this edition of this podcast. Eddie Greer III here with you guys, and Big D here in the EG3 garage once again doing his thing as usual. And I'm gonna get to my reaction. Obviously, everybody's waiting on me for the reaction. Yeah, I was one of those pissed off fans yesterday. I'm getting into that momentarily, but first, y'all know what it is. Fresh from the press right now, let's get down to business. Haley Deegan bringing home her first win ever in NASCAR, bringing it home over the weekend. A 17-year-old used the old-fashioned Big D bump and run on her own teammate to become the first female winner in a NASCAR K&N West Series race. Her last lap shove on Cole Rouse at, I might butcher this, Meridian, yeah, I did, Speedway in Idaho. I had no idea it had a track in Idaho. We'll just call it that. The racetrack up in Idaho gives her victory. And this girl means business, folks. And she had this goal list set out before the season started, obviously. And one of those, obviously, was not checked up off the list. I mean, she got her first pole, led laps, led her first race. That last goal on her list, to-do list, win a race. And she did just that. My goodness, Haley Deegan bringing home the checkered flag to her home state. And she's one of those drivers. We've talked about her briefly on this podcast. Deegan, a NASCAR Next alumni, if you will, or it part of that group coming in. She's been on there a couple of times, but Deegan, obviously her best finish coming prior to this past weekend, two previous runner-up finishes in that series, and then said after the race that the night before she had imagined that position, or I shouldn't say position, but that scenario where you're in second place and you do whatever it needs to do to win a race, just like, well, Jimmy Johnson attempted and missed. But Deegan, this is big. And not only that, you did it on your own teammate to get the job done. No teammates, throw caution to win. Deegan out here doing her thing. Big congrats to Haley Deegan. And yes, Cole Rouse was pretty pissed after the fact. And he said, like, kind of like we hear all the time, I'm not going to cut her any slack. That's what he said. That's the words of Cole Rouse, not me. But my, that set off big time scenario there. Haley Deegan celebrates her first NASCAR victory. She got it done. And she says she wants to be the best. So, and that's a start, and that's also, I don't know what's going on. There we go. Got it out. Wow. So, but that is huge. And also of note, Deegan drives for Bill McNally Racing, and she's leading the Rookie of the Year standings in the K&N West, series. But, wow. Incredible. I had no idea they had a racetrack in Idaho. The Medrian Speedway. Yeah, I probably butchered it, but we're going to go on. But that is for the fresh from that press segment. Haley digging huge, and I have not, and I'll most likely hear her interview in the middle of the week during one of the podcasts. Digging, setting the waves off in NASCAR. Not only was just that win, but she's been awfully competitive, Big D, throughout the year, and she was very well determined. She's a very determined young little racer we got there, and possibly bigger things on the horizon. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. EG3 here with you guys, along with my man, Big D, in the EG3 garage. Now, switching gears to the first quarter and the Roval. What are my thoughts on the Roval? Well, this was beautifully laid out. Obviously, all the hype, obviously, on this podcast about, you know, we're going to see a shit show and all that stuff. We didn't really see that, especially in the Xfinity Series. Of course, yesterday, 24 hours ago, less than that, just over 24 hours ago, we saw one of the craziest finishes of the year. Again, we're going to get into all of that here as we move along here on this post-playoff reaction of this podcast. And this is the first episode leading towards the road to Kansas, the second elimination race coming up this month, October 21st, at Kansas Speedway. But the Roval beautifully laid out. Obviously, they made changes during the weekend because we had people, drivers hitting the wall a ton, hard, brutal impacts throughout the weekend. And I have on here turn number 12 on my notes here. Yeah, that thing got tapped on a few times, and Bubba Wallace drilled that thing hard into the tire barrier. And then I believe prior to final practice, they made the adjustment to move that thing back so that all the cars can get through that back stretch chicane right there. But Marcus Smith, kudos for changing it up, making something happen there. And yeah, that mile and a half postseason race at Charlotte wasn't getting it done. That's plain and simple. People run away from the field. And then obviously this past week you got the NASCAR. It's going to come out tomorrow, actually, the rules package. And the thoughts on that, we're going to have more thoughts on that when it officially comes out. But there's been rumor, obviously, the plate package coming for next year, except without the plates. And there's talked about tapered spacers and all that. So, not necessarily what we saw at the All-Star race, but pretty close to it. And we'll get the official word from that package. And from what I'm hearing, from what I heard from first, though, it was going to be used for the entire season. Now, I kind of disagree with that. You got to try. I understand, you know, fans want better racing. We've heard this all year long. But you got to at least use it for at least half the races, not just go and throw caution in the wind. Obviously, we've seen our share of plate tracks like we got here coming up in the round of 12 with Talladega on the horizon here for the trucks and the Cup Series in race 2 of the round of 12 stretch here. But yeah, we've seen enough plate races. I mean, this, I feel kind of sad about this, you know, a little bit, because you're taking it out of the driver's hands and now you're bunching the field up a little bit. I mean, we saw it earlier. I mean, I was one of those that after the All-Star race was on that band, on those horses of, that was awesome, I want to see it. But, you know, when we saw this thing at Pocono, it wasn't that great. And then Michigan, it was okay, but still, you're still getting it spread out a little bit, though. So, we'll see what the official ruling is on that. But going back to the Roval, yeah, Bubba Wallace hitting the wall hard. Eric Jones, also tacked the thing hard. And then you have Ricky Stenhouse Jr. turning it around in practice. Austin Dillon had a rough weekend, which ended up in him being eliminated in these playoffs. Again, we'll get to that on the back end of this episode. But overall, and the bridge, the addition of the bridge, that was pretty sweet also. So overall, Marcus Smith and them boys put on a risk, and they succeeded big time over there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Moving on to the second quarter, where, folks, the Xfinity Series had Upset City alert. Upset City, Chase Briscoe, who was part of that trio, who's been driving that 60 car in the Xfinity Series all season long, that's been hasn't had much success and didn't have much success over the weekend. Ty Majeski was in that thing, but Chase Briscoe, Tony Stewart, putting Chase Briscoe in that 98 car and delivers his first victory in the Xfinity Series. And remember, Chase Briscoe, folks, won the Eldora race earlier over the summer. And now, Briscoe wins another big-time event. Wins the first ever actual race on that Roval Road course, bringing home in the Xfinity Series. No playoff driver did not win this thing. So I call it on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, Upset City, Briscoe getting it done. And I saw bits and pieces a little bit of this race. Did not see a whole lot. I went back and saw the highlights a little bit and watched a little bit of the DVR. But Briscoe, he had one of the fine, fast race cars throughout the afternoon and brought it home. Big time win for Briscoe in this one. And then Tony Stewart, like I said, I have on my rundown sheet, bringing that thing home. And Briscoe, third win on a NASCAR circuit course, going back to Brad Keselowski racing in the Truck Series, winning Homestead. And then this is his second win of the year. Like I mentioned, Eldora and now Charlotte. So not too shabby for young Chase Briscoe. But kind of a big thing here on this one, there's two of them actually. One non-playoff related. Justin Marks, who finished in a runner position, called it a career, is stepping down from NASCAR, from the Xfinity Series, says he wants to do something else, want to jump in another career. And this is a guy, obviously, we see him on mainly majority road course racing, Big D, but we haven't seen a whole lot of this guy, and maybe because of the fact he ain't getting enough chances. Well, we've seen him a little bit from time to time in the Cup Series, don't do much though. But Mark's calling it a career after the race is over, saying that he wants to do something else, and you know, not getting plenty of opportunities might have something to do with that. So that's, I wouldn't say that was a shocker. That kind of threw me off for a loop when watching that. So Mark's calling the career. And the other thing, the regular season champ in the Xfinity Series, Justin Allgaier, now around that bubble. I know Allgaier won at Dover, which is the elimination race coming up this weekend for the Xfinity Series. Four drivers will go home after Dover, but Allgaier cutting it pretty close right now. And he got into another bad situation there, coming off pit road there. And guess who did he run into? Austin Cindric. Oh, Big D, he ran right to Austin Cindric. Contact was made, and then Ryan Sieg got to Justin Allgaier there. Allgaier, I believe, finished 15th. We'll go through where the playoff drivers finished in the Xfinity Series in just a moment, but Allgaier cutting it close after all this momentum to start the playoffs. Now you're one of those drivers around the bubble. And Austin Cindric, for the second consecutive race, is a part of the Allgaier equation. So Allgaier can't get away from Austin Cindric to save his life right now. And Allgaier better be really careful here in this instance here. And of course, Dover the Monster can come out and eat your ass alive. And that I did not expect. You know, obviously, Allgaier ran inside the top 10 at the playoff opener, got caught up in that four-wide mess, and then here, without his own doing, Austin Cindric finds Allgaier. They make contact a little bit off pit road, and then Ryan Sieg had nowhere else to go but run into the 7 car. So that's trouble in moving of itself right there. You don't want to play with too much fire, especially with a track like in the Monster Mile. Again, Justin Allgaier won this race. Well, not this race. Won at Dover the last time the Xfinity Series was there over Elliott Salah. But again, that win was taken away in critical 5 points taken away. But outside of that, though, you know, can he make it? Absolutely. You know, got the equipment to make it to the next round. But one more of these, and you could be looking out, you could be possibly not advancing to the next round. So again, Justin Allgaier better be really careful. He's capable. Now, you know, Ryan Truex, Ryan Reed, Brandon Jones, I don't think they're going to be going to the next round, obviously, here, unless something catastrophic happens at the Monster Mile coming up on Saturday for these guys. But Justin Allgaier playing with a little fire a little bit here to start off these playoffs. Not a good way to start these playoffs for the regular season champ. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, rolling along now. Let's see where we can find these playoff drivers, where they finish. The finish highing one was Austin Cindric. Still won the pole for this race, and he made the sly comment that we didn't, again, this was coming in. We talked about this, Big D. Cindric, he had to, this is a golden opportunity for him to win this thing. And we, all these Xfinity Series drivers talk about how talented, you know, Cindric is, and he's a threat to win. Well, did not win again on a road course. The last time, he's going to be running on a road course this year along with the rest of these guys. Cindric, pretty much in my book, a missed opportunity. Sat on the pole, kind of went backwards, and then had an unexpected, well, even though Chase Briscoe is his buddy and all that other stuff, but Cindric, this is the playoffs, and Cindric is flirting outside the cut line there. The next guy, Christopher Bell, the winner of Stage 2, finishing the 5th spot. Matt Tiff finished 6th. Cole Custer bouncing back to finish in the 7th spot. Tyler Reddick, 9th. Daniel Hemric, the winner of Stage 1, finishing the 10th spot. Then you have Ryan Reed, 11th. Ross Chastain finished 12th. Junior Motorsports off with their two main drivers, Elliott Salah, Justin Allgaier. We talked about Allgaier here in this segment. Elliott Salah finished 14th, Allgaier 15th, Truex, Ryan Truex 16th on the rundown sheet, and Brandon Jones down here. Yep, Brandon Jones, the final playoff driver, and he's going to need a miracle. Hail Mary it. He's going to make it to the next round. Finish in the 22nd position there in the Xfinity Series race. The drive for the Cure 200 presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield. Take a look at the playoff standings headed to the elimination race at Dover this weekend for the Xfinity Series, while the Cup Series opens the round of 12 up at the Marshall Mile. The only one that's locked in, Christopher Bell, still in it. Then, of course, Daniel Hemric, Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer, Matt Tiff. This is the order right now. This is the drivers who are in right now. Elliott Salah, Allgaier, and Ross Chastain. Now, we'll have to fend off a charge from Austin Cindric if he's going to move to the next round. And yes, Ross Chastain, for those of you who don't know, did drive the 42 for 3 races during this month or last month. And now he's back with the 4. So now he's going to be fighting hard to try to advance that JD Moore sports car to the next round. Cindric, 9 out. Ryan Truex got some work to do. So does Ryan Reed and Brandon Jones. Put your work boots on, because they basically have to go out there and win unless something crazy happens at the Monster Mile. And Justin Allgaier is 2nd above that cut line to Ross Chastain right now. That's 11 points. He and Elliott Salah. So really, really interesting. Going to the Monster Mile, Sadler, Allgaier, 11 points above that cut line right now. Woo! That's really close. I mean, yes, I know Ryan Truex, Ryan Reed, Brandon Jones, kind of like long shots right now. But better be really careful here. If the Monster Golden comes out and bites one of these guys, these marquee guys, it could be a wrap for them in 2018 as far as championship aspiration goes. So very, very interesting here. And, of course, Matt Tiff, not too far either. Cole Custer, this is really a logjam here. And there's a little gap to Tyler Reddick, but from 4th to 9th, but at least that, at least if somebody has a problem, they could very well be eliminated. So at least one driver, like Austin Cindric, could be in the catbird seat unless he screws it up for himself. So a lot can happen in this elimination race. The Bar Harbor 200 going to go down on Saturday. They're presented by Sea Watch International. First elimination race of the Xfinity Series. And which 8 will transfer? Well, we already know Christopher Bell will move on. Which other 7 drivers will move on to the round of 8? 3-wide NASCAR podcast rolls on. It's EG3. It is halftime now. Before we take our intermission, it is silly season. And yeah, I'm not even going to talk about football here tonight. We're gonna skip that because I am going to go off. But anyways, silly season, it was popping on last Friday. And GMS, shipping guys in and out of that organization. We did a piece on them from Pit Road earlier this year. If you have not checked that out, I encourage you to do that along with the rest of our episodes from last week. This episode, of course, will be dropping this week along with a separate. I decided to do a separate segment with Mick Rose from Junction City, Kansas. Again, from Junction City to the Little Apple here in Manhattan, it's about 20 minutes away. So I'm going to separate that. And we're gonna talk talk Roval and silly season in that. So looking forward to doing that. That will be up along with the post race playoff reaction of the Roval weekend. But yeah, trucks. Cody Coughlin out of that ride after I'm forgetting this name, but the name doesn't stick to me, it doesn't strike me right now. But I have my list. Cody Coughlin out of the GMS ride. And they're going to stick, guess who, in this ride? A guy that we saw at Eldora earlier this year. That is Tyler Dipple. Will make the rest of the appearances for GMS Racing in the 2 truck. And then moving on to the Xfinity Series. Last week I talked about Ross Chastain in a bid to get in that 1 car for Junior Motorsports. Well, and then also made the announcement on one of the episodes last week about that. But instead of that, Dale Earnhardt Jr. makes the decision to put Noah Gragson in the 1 car in the Xfinity Series. So he will be the apparent to replacing Elliott Sadler next year. More details on sponsorship and all that, I'm sure, coming out after the season is over. Gragson's in now for the Cup Series. Obviously, we talked about Ryan Newman in the last time on the Playoff Reaction Podcast. We know where he's going. For those of you who don't, Ryan Newman's going to the 6 out of the 31 of Richard Childress Racing. That means Richard Childress promoted from within to get Daniel Hemric in a full-time ride next year. He takes over Ryan Newman's seat in the 31 car. And we saw Hemric was very impressive at the Roval, even in that 8 car. That 8 car showed speed. And Daniel Hemric, of course, you know, there's been a lot been made about, you know, sponsorship with the driver and all that other stuff. But these guys that I'm going to talk about have done it the old-fashioned way, earning a chance. Even though Daniel Hemric has not won an Xfinity Series race yet still. And I made a bold prediction about that. If you have not been listening, you better go back to the rest of the episodes to find out what I've said. But Hemric in that 31 in the other car. And the other guy who hasn't won the Xfinity this year in the Dash for Cash races, Ryan Preece, kicks out AJ Allmendinger. Allmendinger's out And he said something smart about, I'm just looking for a job right now. Well, a lot of people are saying that he's going back to sports cars, which I believe that think that's going to happen as well. Allmendinger out of that ride. Ryan Preece in the 47. And some people are shocked about this. You know, we've kind of heard the rumors swirling a little bit, Big D. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. But again, you know, why not? I mean, JT Jordy, you know, with Allmendinger, you know, not coming up big in these road course races, failing to step up when it counts, and then Allmendinger put a bone-ass move for whatever he's trying to dive in on Denny Hamlin late in the race, and I don't know what he was doing, you know, basically bowling into Denny Hamlin late in that race. I know Denny Hamlin, you know, he's one of those drivers has been eliminated from playoff contention. We'll get into that after halftime. But Allmendinger failing to come up big, and the pattern just kept on rolling, you know. Brad Doherty kind of disappointed, you know, all this, you know. We're looking to step up our program, all this, and they're taking a huge, huge risk in Ryan Preece. But, hey, Ryan Preece, one of those cats. You know, he's going to get it done on short tracks, and be interested, definitely interested to see what he does in that 47 next year. And, of course, Chris Buescher, on the flip side of that coin for JTT Doherty, staying in that 37, and why not? I think he deserves to stay in that ride. He's outworked Allmendinger, in my opinion. Put down some good runs and put down a solid qualifying effort. And Buescher carried one of those signs yesterday at the Roval. I think it was like Curve 1 or something like that. But Buescher stays in the 37 while Ryan Preece, a dream come true, hard-nosed racer, he's in the 47 next year. And that goes to show, you know, hard work pays off eventually. You know, these guys, old school, you know, they don't have the financial backing, the sponsorship backing. But, hey, you know, these guys, Richard Childress Racing, the owner, the tag, Guest Assurance, the Brad Dohertys of the world, see other talent and say, go ahead, let's get this guy. So, definitely kudos to these guys, the owners, for making the moves there that was necessary. We heard possible rumor that Ty Dillon could go back over to RCR, but we talked about Ty Dillon a few episodes ago. He is staying, or actually, on the last time of the road to Kansas, he made the announcement last week at Kansas Speedway that, yeah, okay, thanks for reminding me. Yeah, Ty Dillon made the announcement at Kansas Speedway Media Center last week that he was staying with Jermaine Racing. So that took care of itself, and a lot of things took care of itself right now. The puzzling side of it now, we're still waiting on confirmation on the 41-19-1 cars that have not been announced. I really thought, honestly, that, you know, it would start the bubble with the 41-19. It flipped around. Obviously, Kurt Busch is still in the playoffs along with Martin Truex Jr. McMurray came out of nowhere yesterday, finished second. Again, anticipated reaction coming up here in the intermission timeout. But yeah, that's your silly season update, ladies and gentlemen. A lot happening through the series, and looking forward to seeing what ball drops next on the silly season as it continues through the rest of these playoffs. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time to take the intermission break right here on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. When we come back, oh yeah, time to get down to the nitty-gritty. What happened at the Roval Elimination Race? And oh boy, EG3 got something ready cooked up. You listen to 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. We'll be back after this timeout.
Amazing.
Three Wide NASCAR Podcast rolls on into the second half. Eddie Gritter third, EG3 in the building along with Big D doing the production. The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast is all about the latest in the world of motorsports. Playoff Camping World Truck Series, who's off for another couple of weeks. The Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series wrapped up round 16 of the NASCAR postseason, and we saw an epic ending to it with unpredictability. And I talked about, I'm still pissed. I woke up mad this morning about it, and you know, I told myself I'm gonna still marinate on it all day and then move on, and I kind of feel a little better about it. Doesn't make me feel any better what took place yesterday with all that. Let's just get right down into it. The 48-78, Jimmy Johnson. Of course, Martin Truex Jr. was already moving on to the next round via points. Jimmy Johnson scored a ton of stage points, put himself in position, and guess who picked Jimmy Johnson on this podcast? Yeah, that would be me. Yeah, I'm guilty of that. And especially the way it went down yesterday. Jimmy Johnson did all what he could, and then final lap happened. He was in. And with all this set up, was obviously, you know, the caution before this one. Brad Keselowski leading few of these guys, the old tires. We don't know this track's history, obviously, because this is the first time everybody's been driving on it. First restart on old tires. Brad Keselowski leads the field to the Great Wall of China and hard impacts with a tire barrier, Big D. And yeah, all hell basically ensued after that. Kyle Larson, who was the dominator of the day, was involved in this. Kyle Busch already moved on to the next round. He and Keselowski were involved in it. William Byron smacked the wall. Eric Amarola, who had an adventurous day, along with several others. This was a back-and-forth battle all day. You had guys out in 2 points in, 1 point in, 4 points to the good. Blaney, Bowyer was out at 1 point. Bowman was out at 1 point. This was a chess game all day long. And it nearly came down to a few strategy there at the end. But Kyle Larson flipped off Ricky Stenhouse Jr. saying F you to their good friends. But Kyle Larson was pissed. And then, you know, after old saying goes, you dominate, and then caution to breed caution, then the best cars involved in it, Kyle Larson dominated this thing. Brad Keselowski gave Kyle Larson hell throughout stage three there, and no fresh tires with that front half of that group right there, and Keselowski didn't even turn. That thing went straight on into the tire barrier, all up in the tire barrier, and got big names involved. But lucky for, again, Brad Keselowski won Las Vegas, his playoff opener. Kyle Busch won Richmond. And then, of course, we're going to get to Blaney. Sees part of Ryan Blaney to get the win and move himself on, because he was on to be a little, he was right there above the cut line, 4 points going in. Blaney had a great race, led a laps, led one stage two, and like the old, again, another old saying on what we say on this podcast, right place at the right time for Ryan Blaney, wrong place, wrong time, Jimmy Johnson. I don't know what the hell he was thinking, and yeah, I get it, yeah, I understand. Okay, all right, so, okay, for those of you already should know by now, I remind you again, Mark Truex fan, talking to you guys. But this thing was just demoralizing yesterday. Jumping, I thought we had this in the bag, and next thing you know, Jimmy Johnson coming into turn 14, 15, 16, 17, that carousel there, and Ryan Blaney, I wasn't even paying attention. All right, Big D, so we were talking yesterday about this, and I was really pissed off. And I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't even know who was in third spot. I was so tied up in Truex and Johnson battle, because Jimmy Johnson, obviously, you know, he had a fast car and he did everything in the book. But And then, of course, Kyle Larson was involved in it in the last caution of the day, which brought the red flag, right? Okay, so here thinking, all right, so I'm going to play devil's advocate, okay? Because, yeah, this, I don't think really should have happened, but it happened anyways. And it's going to go down as one of the better finishes of the year, unfortunately. And like my gut's been saying, I hope if it does, if that costs us 5 points, if it comes down to 5 points and MTJ's eliminated, then I've already have it circled. So if Mark Trez Jr. doesn't advance because of 5 points, we know why. But Larson, he was out. 1 point out, and Jimmy Johnson sitting there up there in second spot. Of course, with a two-lap dash to the checkered flag, right? And these cats pull away from Blaney. Well, I didn't even know who was in third place, but eventually, you know, Ryan Blaney restarted fifth and worked his way to third during that final restart. So these guys pull away, had all types of daylight between Truex and Johnson and Blaney and Murray, who had a hell of a run there. But I understand, 20% of me understands you're going for a win. Yes, I mean you haven't won a long time, this and that. You're feeling the pressure from your kids, this and that. You know, you got 7-time Marshall Energy NASCAR Cup championships, all this other stuff. You want to put yourself in the conversation. Well, you basically took yourself out of the conversation by doing what you did yesterday. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're going for the win. I understand that. Totally. I mean, you know, looking back at the highlight replays a few times and all this and that. But Jack announced, Jack announced should have looked at the points and say, hey, you know, obviously Kyle Larson could be a threat at Homestead. He's moving on to the next round barely at the hands of Jeffrey Earnhardt, who basically stopped on the racetrack. You got Jimmy Johnson, he was, what, 8 points to the good at the time? I believe 8 to 10 points to the good, sitting up there in the second spot. You have an opportunity to win the race. Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, you got to think, well, and this 48 all of a sudden has momentum that we have not seen all year long. Speed in these race cars, you know, ran in the top five at Vegas before he hit the wall, was in the back half of the top 10 at Richmond, got all this momentum. Okay, so you're starting to build this momentum, right? And, you know, he said all playoffs long that the Roval is his best chance to win, right? Make something happen, right? He was spot on, okay? I understand that. But the point in that situation, and he stayed and answered all the questions and all that other stuff. But right there in that situation, I mean, yes, I understand if these guys didn't make contact, Martin Truex, Jimmy John didn't make contact, they would have been side by side. That's the words of Jimmy Johnson. I believe him 100% on that. He don't dive in the corner hard, dive in the chicane hard. If he don't lock the brakes up, he probably side by side with Truex going to the line, which probably Jimmy Johnson had the momentum, but he locked them up, smoked them, coming in the 15th turn, and then spun out. And from what I saw, he hopped the curve, so he could have been penalized for that move. And then what really pissed me off was using Truex as a backing point. And earlier, Truex got clipped from behind by Brad Keselowski. And then go fast forward to the final lap, he gets tattooed pretty much by Jimmy Johnson's car. And then probably 30 to 40 seconds later, Blaney comes in the picture, gets by both of them to win the damn race. Good grief. I mean, oh my goodness. It was hell. Brimstone on hell, baby. Yesterday, I was jumping up and down for one moment, and then the next moment, I was yelling at this damn TV screen because we're a final corner away and taken away by Jimmy Johnson backing up, and now backing up, nailing the rear of the 7-8 car, and it was a wrap from there. So again, Mark Truex Jr., all the round 16 races in the mix to win them, and circumstances did not play out. Like I said before the playoff start, X factor, circumstances. circumstances did not fall 78's way, even though they got the speed. And I, as a fan now talking, I really like the way they got these cars rolling right now. This is their last seven races. You know, they've been right there, and hopefully they can bring it home in one of these round of 12 races and get to the round of 8, man. I'm excited about that. But yeah, I was madder than hell yesterday. Just had seen, right, it's fitting enough that Big D and you were cracking up at me, because yeah, I was basically mad throughout the evening, and I calmed down a little bit after like 8:30 or something. I relaxed a little bit, but I was mad throughout the rest of the weekend, not the rest of the weekend, the rest of the day. even in small group, I was mad. I didn't give a damn what happened. Yeah, I was one of those knuckleheads that said, you know, he needs to retire. I'll admit that on the show. But, you know, he gracefully did apologize and all that other stuff. But, you know, CJ Wolliver, I listened to the Jeff Gluck podcast post-race this morning on the road. And CJ was spot on what we discussed. Not even listening to this podcast before. He was spot on what we were talking about last night. Why did Chad Knaus pull the reins back a little bit on Jimmy Johnson? Say, hey, you know, let's not take ourselves too careful and do all that stuff. You know, yeah, you're going for the win. It's a total situation, but that's bullshit, man. You basically screwed yourself, and you were right there. You did all things right until basically the fourth quarter, and you give up a touchdown at the end of the game. That's what Jimmy Johnson did yesterday. And Ryan Blaney snuck in there, got the win, and he was stunned. Blaney getting his first win since last year at Pocono. Walks right through. Like I said, the scene's par for Blaney right there. He navigates his way through to score the victory. First cut victory at the Roval. And first one of the year for Blaney, and somebody say he's a championship contender. That's a whole different conversation right there. But hey, Blaney, right now, Blaney's moving on to the next round. Hey, I like Ryan Blaney. I'm going to say he's moving on to the next round. We'll see what goes from there. But yeah, CJ Wolliver was spot on. You know, I just don't know why. I just can't wrap my head around why. You know, you're right there. You're in. All you gotta do is finish second, yes, and you're bound for the win, yes. But you know, once that NBC camera caught Jimmy Johnson smoking them tires, locking them up, I said, "Oh shit, here we go. Something's gonna happen right here. He's gonna tap in the Truex," which he spun himself out. He did not get the Truex there, but he got to him anyways by backing up into him. And holy F. It's just running. It is Truex. And then we haven't even gotten this part. I didn't even see this until the replays got it. Mark Truex gets in to Jimmy Johnson, spins him out for his own reasons, and then goes about his business. And then calls out Jimmy Johnson, basically saying, yeah, the same words we've been talking about in this segment, saying, that's just plain stupid. I mean, you're in the playoffs. You want to put yourself in the conversation of trying to go for 8 championships. Everybody will talk about it. Well, we ain't got to talk about it no more, because Jimmy Johnson basically took yourself, your dumb behind, out of the playoff picture. And now you're role playing with spoil, which I guess it means probably it's good for some playoff drivers, because with the round of 8 coming up. But we shouldn't be thinking about going that far just yet. With Dover, and you're going to one of your better racetracks, or probably the best racetrack of your career, Dover, where you've owned that racetrack and you got all this momentum, you come off in a second, or probably not, that you race a little cleaner to Truex there, you win it, you advance yourself to the next round, you got all this big ass momentum now, and you're the man now, you're the talk of the town now, baby. But instead, you're the flip side of it. You're not top time anymore, baby. You're going home, baby. In that sense. But yeah, man, I'm fired up, man. 3 Wild NASCAR podcast continues, rolls on here tonight on this Monday night. This road to Kansas, officially a few weeks away from the second elimination race, the road to Kansas. talking Roval, Eddie Gritter III, Big D now, doing his thing production-wise here. But yeah, we just really went through third quarter there. And if I speak down here, let's go to fourth quarter real quick here. Yeah, man, four drives to eliminate. We pretty much documented Jimmy Johnson. I mentioned Denny Hamlin earlier. Denny Hamlin, whew, nightmare. Round of 16 comes to a close with a big-time nightmare. And this cat has had momentum, too, along with Erik Jones. I just didn't understand what happened. I don't know what happened, but Denny Hamlin turned into a pumpkin pretty much in this round, knocked himself out of there. Erik Jones had a lot of momentum. He's out of the picture. Erik Jones had a long weekend after Roval. Austin Dillon saying that we deserve to be in there. Well, a lot of probably 99.9% of the NASCAR nation said Austin Dillon was going to be out. Well, ran himself out of there, hitting the wall too many times. Knocking walls down at the Roval. Yeah, you're out of there, buddy. So, so Jimmy Johnson out via tiebreaker. Via tiebreaker, Eric Almirola. Almirola dodged bullet. Also, with the Jimmy Johnson mishap, he's moving on to the next round. And Kyle Larson dodging the biggest bullet, probably, really. And there were talks. Somebody talked to me about minimum speed and all that other stuff with a bat beat up race car, a potential winning race car at that. Larson squeaking in, Jeffrey Earnhardt stopping on the racetrack and bangs his way to the finish line and ekes out the final spot, the good transfer spot in. Wow, how did fortune change? Kyle Larson won stage one in this race, Big D, and looked like he was a contender to win this race. That all changed really fast when Keselowski basically went straight on into the damn tire barrier. And how fortunes change, man. From one to win the race, and then, you know, the caution before Keselowski mess, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. continuing to knock walls down on world courses. Also, he was the cause of the caution. Kyle Larson was not too pleased, and we'll be asking Mick about that. I'm sure he was sweating bullets. Because he was that close. That would have been a huge stunner there. But turns out we got stunned anyways with the finish. Jimmy Johnson out of the picture. And we won't be talking about him unless he wins Upset City. He wins a race. But real quickly, let's go with the playoff finishers and where they finish. I had the list up here. I'll get in just a moment. But yeah, man, absolutely out matting what happened yesterday. Ryan Blaney taking home win number one of the year at the right time. Big time win there for Blaney and Penske. That's Penske's second victory in these playoffs. Of course, Keselowski won the opener. Clint Bowyer was up and down also. He was at one point about to be eliminated, but he was right there in the mix all day. Third, Bowman going on fourth, Kurt Busch moving on also, top five, Chase Elliott six, Jimmy Johnson, the last time we were talking about him, unless he wins, stunning eighth place, and really a kind of a questioning move whether he should have stayed behind Truex or not. Yeah, you'll be marinating on that for the rest of the year. Kevin Harvick, quiet ninth for him. Joey Logano, 10th. Denny Hamlin eliminated, 12th. Mark Trez Jr. in position to win the race. Rob by Jimmy Johnson. Truex comes home in the 14th spot, but luckily he transferred in via point situation. Eric Almirola up and down day. For him, he's going to be moving on 19th. And Kyle Larson, 25th on Earnhardt. Jeffrey Earnhardt. He'll be sending a Christmas card to Jeffrey Earnhardt. Eliminated, Erik Jones, 30th. Keselowski moving on to the round of 12, 31st. Kyle Busch moving on to the round of 12, 32nd. And Austin Dillon, the last eliminated there, folks. 39th position, Austin Dillon. Ouch. He will be looking forward to next year. So that's there's that. So 12 drivers, folks. We'll be going to Dover on Sunday, continuing the quest to get in the final four. Big D, roll it up. Gannett Outdoors 400 on NBCSN on Sunday. MRN has coverage. NBCSN has television as noticed. But yeah, man, unbelievable finish. And yeah, I'm very surprised I didn't throw any more cuss words on this episode tonight, because I was hot. I was really hot yesterday. And if I would have did that, recorded it yesterday, you would have heard a lot of swearing on here. but surprise, I surprised myself tonight. So I don't want to sound cussing every 5 minutes. That's not professional. But obviously, you know, as a fan, you know, you want to see a great finish, but not on cuss or your own driver being part of that and getting wrecked out there at the end of this race. But man, whew, totally. And Ryan Blaney, bring it home for Penske. We'll see what that does for his confidence moving forward as he's moving on to the next round. Blaney, Mr. Glass Case of Motion, getting it done, walking right through the Sea of Galilee and getting it done. So, hey, you get him while you can, right? He was stunned as well, baby. And, yeah, he was probably stunned, more stunned instead of winning that race, because he was in shock. And, yeah, man, you don't want to win those. But, hey, you get him while you take it, what you can get, right? You're moving on to the next round, and you survive, you advance, baby. That's what it's all about at this point. And we'll reset them. We'll reset the field later this week about the round of 12. I know for a fact from off memory, Almirola's outside the cut line starting off. Chase Elliott, first driver outside the cut line. Blaney, and I believe somebody else is behind the cut. Alex Bowman, I think. Yes, that's right. Bowman is outside the cut line as well. So we will re-rack them later this week, heading to the Monster Mile, folks. Before we wrap this thing up, baby, Dodgers looking to win, look like they are on their way to going to the playoffs. And I did not mention the Braves, or really Tiger for that matter. The Braves, NL East Division champs, hell yeah. And most likely, yep, like I told you, I texted you, we're going to be playing the Dodgers, and that's exactly what's going to happen in the playoffs. Indeed. And I believe we played this team before in the playoffs. I can't remember exactly when that is, but it had to be really recently. But a familiar foe in the Dodgers, I'm really excited, man, to see our Braves back in the playoffs. And, of course, Tiger Woods bringing the house down. Tiger, first win in 5 years a couple weeks ago in the, I believe it was the Open Championship or whatever it is, whatever. Bottom line is he won the title, a major, for the first time in quite some time. Hell yeah to that, man. So Tiger Woods, momentum really started when he got healthy, and he's rolling back again. So he's playing really well to end the 2018 season. But yeah, man, saw at least something positive to talk about. You know, other than football, the Braves getting it done, and looking forward to watching them hopefully put on a good run here. But we'll see what happens. Nobody expected us to be in this position anyway. So what we got to lose? We got nothing to lose. But we got all this good talent on that team. Hopefully we'll get the Dodgers hell as they'll begin the playoff series on Thursday. You can follow me at 3Wide_FastEddie again. At 3Wide_FastEddie, and of course 3Wild EG3, baby. You follow it on Podcast Central. You know where you find us: iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Yeah, you know where it is, and a couple others as well. If you have not subscribed to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, what have you been missing? We are now on to the round of 12. You don't want to miss a moment. Join the movement on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, where it happens, baby. Excitement is happening, and NASCAR hit a home run yesterday overall with this. The Roval is definitely here to stay going forward. And Blaney, moving on to the next round. Meanwhile, the Xfinity Series up for grabs. Briscoe taking down the playoff drivers at the Roval. And now, Allgaier and others look to stay alive in hopes to transfer at the Monster Mile. Big D, it's going to be an interesting weekend in Xfinity. And the round of 12 begins at Dover this weekend, man. We're moving on as well, so hopefully we can keep the good runs going, man. Coming in, we're that close, man. Hopefully we can get it at one of these tracks. Dover, Talladega, and obviously the road to Kansas continues up to October 21st. We're going to be there, baby. Cannot wait. I am getting excited once again for it's going to go down big time over there in KC, baby. You know where it is. And we're probably going, and possibly after that, we might be going to another race. Besides on what happens, but we're probably in good shape. But we're going to work out the details still and see what we can do. But we know for sure, though, Big D, we're going to this race. We got tickets, baby. And that's the next elimination race. The road to Kansas continues on the next time on Through Our NASCAR podcast. You will hear me and Mick Rose talk, break this down a little bit more, and get his thoughts. Kyle Larson moving on to the next round by passing Earnhardt. And woo, we're going to talk about that and silly season and much more. So you don't want to miss that. And this episode will be posted tomorrow night, between then and Wednesday for sure. So stay tuned, folks, to the 3Y with EG3 NASCAR podcast. For right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to close the garage on another edition of the 3Y with EG3 NASCAR podcast. Thank you, Big D, for hanging out with me on this Monday night as usual. Eddie Greer III saying thank you once again for tuning in to the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Congratulations to the first winners of the Rover World Course, Chase Briscoe and Ryan Blaney. We out.
Thanks for listening to the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3 wide.